Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is episode 536. My guest is Black Dahlia Murder Riff Beast himself, Mr. Brian Eschbach. First time on the podcast. Can't believe it took over 6 years. Right? Has it been 6 years since I started the show? I think so. So I'm happy to have Brian on, and we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. But first, I got to tell you about the all-new Patreon that has additional content aside from what you get with your Gas Digital Network subscription. The Gas Digital Network subscription still stays the same. You can have over 515 episodes in the archive plus bonus content. And then you're going to get another like 7 episodes a month when you sign up over at patreon.com/Josta. So right now everybody's talking about my pitch to Metallica, $50,000. Let me and some good buddies and friends and colleagues and peers revisit the vocals on the Lulu album. If you've seen the tweets or if you saw some of the websites reporting on it, I respectfully ask Metallica to let us do something fun and different and collaborate, you know, during quarantine while there's no touring, because touring is not coming back for a while. And just putting it out there, no disrespect to Lou Reed, love Lou Reed, and I think that his lyrics, a lot of his lyrics on that album are really cool and could be reimagined by great vocalists that would, you know, what vocalist wouldn't want to fucking sing over Metallica riffs? I mean, it's they paved the way for all of us, and we love and respect them, and it's all love. Just a crazy idea that I did a whole podcast about on patreon.com/Josta. It's going to stay up there for a while. Really looking forward to adding more content there and getting your support over there. And listen, shoot me an email if you think there should be a lower price tier. Maybe you just want the weekly metal roundup, or you just want the songs per month. Shoot me an email. Let me know what you think is fair. But right now it's 5, 10, and 25, and I got a lot of shout-outs. So many people are coming on board, and we just really, really appreciate it and want to give them some love right now. So big thanks and respect to Andrew Chase, Hotchkiss, Emmanuel, Paul Hamilton, Mark M., Alex Smolin coming on board as an executive producer. We will add your name to the credits after the show. Not today, because that's already pre-recorded, but after the next episode. So thank you, Alex. And we will be announcing for our all-access tier and our executive producer tier, we will be announcing the next live Zoom tapings of the Josta Show, so you guys can join in and schedule it ahead of time and ask questions at the end of the episode and chat with us while we're taping it and whatnot. It's fun. Also, Vivek Pawar. Thank you, Vivek. Another executive producer coming on board to support the show, going above and beyond for us. We really appreciate it. This is for you.
Thank you.
So thanks again, everybody who signed up over at patreon.com/Josta. I have been watching all sorts of shit, mainly YouTube videos about this Game of Thrones spinoff show and about Winds of Winter. If any Game of Thrones fans are listening, you've seen the news. George R.R. Martin is not going to be done with Winds of Winter anytime soon. It's kind of a bum out, but I've been doing a lot of YouTubing and, you know, subscribing to different channels and checking out different content. I got to give a big thanks and a big shout out to 2 Minutes to Late Night, Jordan, everybody there, Ben Collar, everybody who put together this killer Misfits cover that I did with Max Weinberg and Ben Wyman, who's going to be on the podcast on Monday. Also, of course, Frank Iero from My Chemical Romance. It was just a lot of fun. You can check that out over at the 2 Minutes to Late Night YouTube. Give them a follow, give them a like, give them a subscribe. And also, if you're watching this on YouTube or listening to this on YouTube, please like, subscribe, and hit the bell. You know, I'm real late to the game on YouTube. You know, I'm a caveman, just trying to let a caveman live, but I got to get up to speed with all the technology and all the social media sites and all the tech shit, and I'm working on it. You know what helps me, though, with that? A nice, stiff cup of coffee. And when I mean stiff, I mean strong. But not the type of strong when you get a crash. I'm talking about Immortal Coffee, the no-crash coffee. Big shout-out to Matt Brown, the Immortal himself, UFC legend, and the Immortal Coffee crew. I like the Cuban roast. I like the medium roast. The Italian roast is a medium one. You could choose whatever roast floats your boat. Say that 5 times fast over at theimmortalcoffee.com. Don't forget the Buster. ThE ImmortalCoffee.com. Use the code JASTA. Get one of those travel mugs. That's the best coffee travel mug I own. I've been using it now for weeks, probably months, and I love it. They got a ton of great products over there. Everybody compliments me on my pothead shirt that has a coffee pot. That gets comments everywhere I go. TheImmortalCoffee.com for great coffee from the immortal himself. TheImmortalCoffee.com. Use the code JASTA. So many good releases coming up. If you have a suggestion for the August music show, shoot me an email, jostashow@gmail.com. I've been jamming the new Napalm Death. I've been jamming the new Pallbearer. I've been jamming a bunch of good stuff. That new Acacia Strain rips. What else? New Ingested is coming out this Friday, so don't forget to head on over to indiemerchstore.com after the podcast today. Use the promo code 15JASTA when you order that new Ingested, or maybe you want some flip-flops, a bathing suit, some board shorts. Maybe you're going to gear up for the fall and the winter. Maybe you're living in some place that's going to get colder sooner than later, and you want a hoodie, or you want, they got scarves, they got beanie hats. I mean, they got it all. IndieMerchStore.com for all your death metal and extreme music gear and needs. IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code 15JASTA. And I got to shout out everybody on Twitter. Thank you just for all the positivity and all the support. I got to shout out D. Snyder. Big congrats to D with the release of For the Love of Metal Live. Make sure you get that if you haven't yet. Great job to Charlie Belmore and Nikki Belmore, you know, with the editing and helping me do the album. I had a great conversation with D the other day, not just about the Lulu stuff, you know, because I thought, damn, how great would it be to have D sing on some of these Metallica riffs? It would be so sick. But just about stuff in general, and he just, man, I just felt so good after talking to him. I'm just so grateful to have worked with him and just to see the reaction. I saw the For the Love of Metal videos is closing in on 1 million views. A bunch of the other ones I think are at 1 million or over 1 million. And then the reviews for this live record are coming in and they're very positive. He's getting some mainstream media. Like I saw CNN reviewed it and stuff. I mean, it's just incredible. And this all came from your support, you know, for listening to the podcast and stuff. So keep your fingers crossed for Further Love of Metal too. But even if it doesn't happen, I'm just so happy that, you know, we made this project come to fruition, and now to have the live album and to see the reaction at the shows and people singing along, it's just rad. Before we get to the show with Brian Eschbach, I want to let everybody know that we have Crowbar tank tops back in stock, and I got Josta tank tops back in stock over at martyrstore.net. You'll see we might have a couple Hatebreed pint glasses left and a couple full band signed 8x10s. Go to martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net, and get them before they sell out. All right, this is episode 536 with Brian Eschbach, the Riff Beast from The Black Dahlia Murder. Now on to the show.
It's not just a show. My friend, the lead singer of Hatebreed, the infamous and notorious Jamie Josta, is in the building.
That's what's up.
Jamie Josta from the metal band Hatebreed. That guy's famous.
Coffee, death metal, and push-ups.
That's Jamie Josta. Remember Jamie Josta? You know him. He's a podcaster, but he's also a metal man.
I would say you need that.
That shit is hard.
You're host, Jamie Josta, Hatebreed.
All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is episode 536. My guest is Brian Eschbach from The Black Dahlia Murder. What's up? There he is in the flesh. Look at that face.
Hello from Michigan.
The beautiful, majestic, magical Michigan.
Yeah, it fucking feels like Florida out there right now. I just, you know, there's no water.
I know, right? Well, and the water that you do have, you don't want to get it from Flint and these other surrounding areas, right?
I got this inflatable pool, right? And it's been the savior of the summer. You just go pour a couple caps of bleach in there every day. It should be fine.
Right. I know. I just invested in a company that makes those lights that you shine in the water to kill all the bacteria and to.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What is this, like laser technology?
I don't know what it is, but I know the stock is down, so don't anyone ask me for any stock tips right now. But I wanted to shout out everybody from our Patreon real quick who are joining us live.
We got Wes. We got Paul. We got Brian Underkoffler. We got a lot of Brians in here today. Josh Lipinski, Leanna, Andy Wilson, Gina, Fernando. Welcome to the show. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. And we got our producer, Brian, who I was going to send rap clips to. But here's my dilemma. Because I was going to have you choose your favorite rapper. It's a segment we do on the show where basically you listen to rockers that are rapping and you just choose your favorite one.
Oh, okay. So you're going to have a selection for me to choose from.
No, I didn't do it. I gave up because I really wanted to include Carl from Earth Crisis in it. And there was three or four songs where he's definitely rapping, but he's only rapping in like four bars. And I just didn't feel like it was enough. I there's no 16 or 8 bar verse.
All I can think of is, you know, Debbie Harry and Rapture, man.
Oh, you're going old school. Debbie Harry's your favorite rapper. That's the shirt. I'm making just one for you.
Excellent.
And even then,
don't believe
size large. Yes. And I got to send you one of these so you can have a frosty cold one.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. We just got them made up. So when I was Googling pictures of you to post on Patreon to say that, you know, you're coming on the show and invite our executive producers and our all access tier on, we noticed that you're using a different guitar in like every photo.
I'll usually use like one, or I'll split a year between two guitars, or maybe like just play one for a whole year. But yeah, I mix it up some over. I mean, I've been touring since 2003, so you know, some come, some go. I got a main guy that I'm hanging on to for a while. It's a sick custom that I got from ESP. It's like blonde, but
oh shit, you're breaking up. There he is. Oh, he's moving. He's on the move. Are you going? Are you
closer to the router?
Yes. There we go. There we go.
We're just going to hang out in the bathroom. It'll be all right.
Perfect. I like your shower curtain. I just got a new shower curtain, actually. And if you notice,
once it gets nasty enough, it'll be replaced. But it's holding on strong for now.
Are you a flosser? Are you big into the flossers?
I got a bag of those. I check it out I'll pull out the real floss every once in a while when I'm like, oh shit, I probably should have seen the dentist a little while ago, and then I'll have a good floss day. You know, to put a couple hours into it.
Yeah. Don't use these though, and don't tell Randy that you use these, because anytime I use these, he gets bummed and he's like, "That's gonna end up in like a turtle's eye or whatever."
Oh, I just throw it in my fire pit if I use those.
Yes, it's just burning plastic in the yard.
You got to save the dolphins and everything else that's swimming out there, man.
Dude, so. We got to talk about the album before we get into our Swedish death metal talk. I felt so, like you guys are on your ninth album, right? Is it ninth studio album?
Yeah. Fucking weird.
You're really firing on all cylinders. And then we have this whole disaster happen worldwide where you can't really tour in support of it. And I know you were like timed it so it could, you know, be out for the Testament tour and the whole thing. And
weirdest album cycle ever, for sure. Two shows in 1 year, very foreign.
Yeah, and it sucks because I'm on probably like my fourth or fifth like real deep listen where I'm just, I have nothing on, and like I was just finishing like some little merch I guess sketches where I'll do like different ideas for the merch. And it takes me a long time because I'm not a good artist. Like I'm not good at drawing. And I was about, I don't know, maybe halfway through. And let me just look at the track listing right here. No, I was more than halfway through. I was on The Wereworm's Feast.
Okay.
And for a deep cut, it's pretty much a clinic. Like in the middle of the song, like you're on some fucking like Andy LaRock fucking King Diamond shit on that track, and I was like, whoa, what, why wasn't that track a single?
It's, you know how it is trying to pick what to present to people. It's tough choices sometimes. But I mean, we try to, you know, every track on the album has to be something that we like. Because if we don't like it, you know, how can we expect other people to like it? But yeah, it's always hard choosing what you're going to present to people first or what's going to be the single, because you're balancing, you know, like, what new ways are you kind of stepping outside of your box a little bit, but also balancing, you know, what your fan base expects from you.
Yeah.
It's give and take shit. But that one, I mean, yeah, definitely all that King Diamond and Andy LaRock stuff you're hearing. I mean, our latest addition to the band, he's been in the band for, you know, several years now, and this was his second album with us. But Brandon Ellis, like, as a writer, really fucking delivered on this album. And I mean, like, that's some of the stuff that he totally brings to the table, that just, like, that classic dark rock shit.
Yeah, it's very classic metal sounding. There's a bunch of moments like that on the album that I really enjoyed, because it sets a kind of different dynamic than I'm used to hearing. So it was like, it still sounds like you guys. It doesn't sound derivative. It sounds like your take on some of the classic sort of metal styles of riffing and stuff. And I was going to say, like, when I'm in the studio and I'm writing something and I'm trying to be derivative of myself but add like a new element, I often joke around about the tails, like on the frets, and I go, I'll say like, okay, this riff is perfect, but we got to switch up the, like, the little lick at the end. I call it the tail. I don't know what you guys call it.
Yeah, no, tails for sure.
And do you,
I write on tail with you all the time.
You do, right? Okay. Yeah. So I joke around and I say like, yo, I need an area code. Like, I call them out by different area codes. So I'll be like, give me a Baltimore, and that's the fret number, right? So what's the Michigan area code?
The area code?
Yeah, in Michigan, where you live. Are you a 313?
Oh, a very long time ago.
Okay. What is it now?
248.
248. Not so you could probably do a 248 if you do the open in between each, right?
Like 810 is the old shit. That's I think I was alive then.
810? You used to have 810 area code?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. See, because when I was listening to some of the tales, I was trying to what are you tuned to on this album mostly? Is it all the same tuning?
Yeah, everything's in C standard.
C standard. Okay. See, I'm in C. I'm one step. What's a half step higher than C standard?
C sharp.
C sharp is what I think this, I got a little, Gibson Epiphone. I think it's in C sharp. But anyways, I was like just riffing out to it. One of the tracks, I think, is Child of Night.
Okay.
That's a banger. There's a lot of really good standout tracks on this. I notice when new albums come out, especially on Apple Music, there'll be like one song starred, but you guys probably have like three or four songs starred on there already, which is, I think, a good sign.
That just means a lot of people are like listening to it, or?
Yeah, I think it means like they rated it. And then I think the more ratings you get on Apple Music, like maybe it goes into a playlist and then people will hear it, or it goes onto Apple Radio. I'm not sure how it works. I should probably find out.
All right.
But that so far, I think the other one too is, you know, let me just look. I think the other one was Removal of the Oaken State.
Oh, that's a fun groovy one.
Yeah, that was cool. What were you going to put in the set if you did tour? What new ones were going to be in the set?
Track one, Child of Night. Yeah, probably Removal of the Oaken Stake too. And yeah, we were just going to like start with those three and then work more in like as the summer progressed. But, you know. Didn't get so far as to think of which the next ones from the new album were going to be added in.
But did you rehearse any?
We played Child of Night and the title track Verminous. We played both of those live. The only two shows of the summer that we did, we went down to South Africa right before the shit hit the fan with COVID. So yeah, we got to play those a couple times. We did like a playthrough, like everyone jamming at home video of Removal from Removal of the Open Stake. So like we could probably get together and play that song, but cool. Just those three is what's been hashed out so far.
And do you remember any of the working titles, like before it became Removal of the Oaken State? Do you remember what the working title was? Oh,
shit, man. No.
What a
my brain is getting racked right now just trying to think of the ones that I wrote, the working titles. It's always something stupid.
Yeah, see
that right now.
I do ones that aren't anything that anyone will sort of make a judgment on based off the working title, because I made the mistake once years ago of posting, maybe it was on Twitter, like in the early years of Twitter. I think I posted the board and I didn't even mean to post the studio board. It was like in the background and someone zoomed in on it and singled out like some of the working titles. And for months, people were asking me about like the different working titles. And I was like, oh, why did I put that? So now I'll do really weird working titles like Dr. 20 or just like stuff that just means nothing, just in case the board gets leaked. Because if you say you had something and it was like, you know, Slayer and Drop A, then people are going to just think it sounds like Slayer and Drop A, right? They're not going to.
Yeah, they just start like forming their own assumptions. Yeah. Their imaginations run wild. Right. Child of Night's working title was Fart March. I do remember that.
Fart March?
Yeah.
That's great.
And then on the last album, the title track Nightbringers, that was Chongo.
Okay.
A distant brother to a song off of Nocturnal that was called Mongo.
Mongo, okay. We had one on the First Kingdom of Sorrow album called Two Lazy Fucks. And it was because Steve Gibb and me would sleep on the couches while Kirk was tracking. But then Kirk would get so ripped and he would go take a nap. He would get up, he would forget that he took a nap, and then he would claim that he was doing work the entire time. And that we had been napping during the period when he was napping. And he would get really mad and he'd be like, you guys have napped all day. We were like, dude, we were just working. We tracked whole songs. You were sleeping for like 3 hours. We might have been sleeping when you first got here, but we were working. So he's like, no, you didn't. You're lying. You were two lazy fucks. He's like, just two lazy fucks. He can't say.
You're like, there's no Tyler Durden, man. You were sleeping.
And then there was a song that I sang called Grieve a Lifetime on the First Kingdom, where he had also done backups and played the guitar, but he had drank this. We had a plastic bottle of Black Velvet. I think it's Black Velvet whiskey. Brian, can you, McKay, can you see if there's such thing as, I think it's Black Velvet. It comes in a plastic
bottle. Black Velvet is a very affordable whiskey type.
Yes. Well, so he had finished like half the bottle. Okay, here we go. We got a picture. Yep, there it is. Yeah, $10. I don't endorse this. I'm not endorsing this. I want to go on record. So he drank like half of that, and then he started accusing Zeus and Gibb and I of tracking his parts. And we were like, dude, this is why you don't drink brown liquor. Like, I don't know if you know anybody has an adverse reaction to a certain type of liquor.
Yeah, there's some people that can't do clears, there's some people that can't do darks. You know, it's just everyone's different.
Yes, he cannot do anything dark when it comes to liquor. He's got to do like Coors Light and that's it. Otherwise, it's two lazy fucks. You're re-recording my shit. We're like, no, we did it. And the song is, it's a pretty rad song. He wrote it. He wrote it in a above our friend's garage. We had another version of the album that we scrapped. That just, it wasn't good. It just didn't sound good. But he was writing it, and then he stopped playing it, and he said he forgot it. And I'm like, no, that was amazing. You have to remember that riff you got. And then finally he remembered it, and it actually made it on the album. But have you ever had that happen where you lose a riff and you're like, fuck?
There's definitely been like half songs or whatever that got wrote over the years where there was, you know, there's a solid riff in there. And then you're trying to kind of like build off of it. But like what we would get, you know, sometimes you just put it, you're like, no, this is not it. Like you move on to the next idea that you can actually like really flesh out and feel good about. And then sometimes you come back and you listen to that and you're playing that riff again, or that one or two riffs from it that were, you know, some solid shit. And then your mind's just in a different place to like build off of it. And that can happen sometimes 8 years after the fact, yeah. Or, you know, fucking like, shit. There's been tons of tracks on albums where like either they were based off a riff that I had written years ago, or Brandon or Ryan, you know, I was just like, oh, check out this demo I had, you know, I was like, oh, that shit right there. Let's party with that. You know?
Yeah. Do you have them saved in the vault? What do you got? What do you got? Like a terabyte drive? What's your vault like?
My vault is this computer that's not been touched since like 2009. I don't connect it to the internet. I haven't updated any of the recording shit on it because I don't know anything about computers. I'm holding an iPhone 7 talking to you. Like, fucking. So, like, I got it working and I don't fuck with it.
Yes. No, that's probably a good policy, because I'm trying to find all the files from the first Josta album from 2011. Cause I was like, well, we got time right now. Why don't we remix and remaster it? Or like, I even thought about doing new guests on it or changing some of the stuff up, like changing the guitar sound or using different drum samples and just putting out like a different version on the Patreon or a different version, like a limited, you know, make 100 vinyl or 300 CDs or something. Have you ever thought about revisiting the vault or revisiting B-sides? Have you guys not done a B-sides collection yet?
Not really. At some point I'd like to do, but it's going to be really weird for, I guess, most of our listeners. At some point I'd love to do, you know, a release that has like all the bonus tracks we ever did on it. Cause a lot of that stuff, I mean, there's covers and then there's like stuff where we totally step outside of the box, you know, like a minute and 20, you know, like grind that goes into a breakdown type or like two step type part. Like, you know how it is, like all these different territories when they're licensing your shit, some of them want extra material. I'm like, well, it's not worth it for us unless, you know, we can give them a bonus. Yeah. So you always have to produce this stuff, and it's fun, really, because you don't have that, or at least in my experience, like, I don't have that pressure to, like, write something that is, you know, easily recognizable as Black Dahlia.
But yeah.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool, like, weird rare tracks or collection.
Hey everybody, it's Jamie jumping in, reminding you today's episode is brought to you by the Immortal Coffee, the No Crash Coffee. This product is amazing. I would still be drinking it every day if they weren't sponsoring the show. That's how good it is. I get compliments everywhere I go with my pothead shirt because it's got a coffee pot on there. They make the best travel mug. So you're going to love the coffee. You're going to love the products. And you know it's quality because it's coming from the immortal himself, Matt Brown, UFC legend in the flesh, now making kick-ass coffee, the No Crash Coffee. Visit theimmortal.com theimmortalcoffee.com. Use the code JASTA. Don't forget the Buster, okay? Theimmortalcoffee.com. Use the code JASTA. Get that Cuban roast. Get that Italian roast. Depending, you know, if you like a dark roast, you might like the espresso roast. You might like the medium roast better. I prefer the darkness. You know what I mean? I'm into it. TheImmortalCoffee.com. Use the promo code JASTA. Now back to the show.
A lot of people are getting the streaming services now. Like, I knew a lot of holdouts, like people with big collections and you know, they love their iPod or they love their, you know, just ripping the stuff onto their phone or whatever, however they do it. And now they're like, I know some old school heads that were holdouts that now have Spotify and Apple Music, and I'm sending them new stuff. And I'm not talking about just holdouts from streaming platforms. I'm talking about holdouts from new bands. I think like a lot of people know those dudes that are like, they just won't like give the props to like the new generation. They'd rather just listen to the classics. But somehow you guys, like, you got around that. Like, you didn't deal with the sort of, I guess, elitist the same way some of the other bands who were influenced by Swedish death metal and melodic Swedish death metal, and definitely not how like the later on deathcore bands got treated. Like, you got love from the metalcore scene, the death metal scene, the hardcore scene. You always kind of had that broad appeal.
It's been weird to have that kind of access to audiences that you know, are receptive to something that's maybe not, you know, their bailiwick or what they always go to listen to.
Say that again.
Like, it's
bailiwick.
It's, yeah.
Dude, that is great. What is that? Tell me where you got that.
I watch too much TV. I'm sorry.
I've never heard this term before. Please.
Like, you know, your shtick or whatever, or your go-tos. But
I'm stealing that.
Take it away, man. It ain't mine.
Dude, I had all these cheesy jokes to drop on you today. Like, for that song, the Wereworms Feast, I was going to say, in the middle of it, I was going to say, is your name Mayo? Because you're putting on a clinic.
Brandon's going to love that.
Dude, so I want to go back to the B-sides and the extra songs idea, because I think that would be cool if you dropped a collection. Or could you drop like a Christmas album? You still have time. What month is July? It's August, basically.
You know, as income ebbs off, you know, anything's possible.
Would you if I do Corpse Grinders Christmas, would you be a part of it? Like, could you
please
get down? Cause I'm not like big into Christmas, but he's so deep into Christmas that I thought, how do we make this into something fun? Can we do Corpse Grinders Christmas? And you have like a different dude in metal write each song.
Here's the mess. I think it's a great idea and I'd love to be part of it. Here's the thing about Christmas music. Whether you like Christmas or whatever, all of those songs, or like that genre, Christmas songs, especially like, you know, from the last century, they're the poppiest, most catchiest songs you ever heard in your entire life. Like, a lot of them. It's like, this is crack. It's ear crack. So, yeah. I mean, I know there's people that want to listen to, you know, their kind of music doing some Christmas songs. So let's get on this.
We really should. I think it can be done tuned down, heavy, and we don't have to have the lyrics to be super cheesy. We could still like have some of the elements that are needed, like the, you know, like the get, like
you're talking, you know, originals.
I'm talking originals.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Now this is getting really interesting. Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah. Yeah, because you could retell some famous like Christmas stories, but give it a little bit of a death metal push. I know Easter is the more death metal of the holidays, but could you like giving, being generous?
Carol, they got three ghosts and a dead guy, man. I mean, like, it's already dark.
True. Yeah, we're going to have to brainstorm. We're going to have to do like a vision board. We're going to have to just get all the ideas going.
Vision
board. It could be good. Because he has the ornaments, the tree. He does the lights on the house. He goes like far with it. Like, I'm lucky if I can hang a wreath, which I didn't even know it was wreath until like a year ago. I thought it was R-E-E-F, and I was like, I thought a reef is in like the fucking sea, like with coral. Meanwhile, no, it's W-R.
Fucking weed stalks just wrapped up.
Yes.
The reef.
We'll sell like corpse grinder wreaths that you put on your front door where it's just his face in the middle. It's his neck in the middle around the... Right, because you need to see, like, who could be, like, who could be the Santa character from the scene? Like, who from death metal could you get?
To be Santa? I want Gene Hoagland to be my Santa.
Yes! Great idea.
Please, Daddy-O?
Also, if you had, I guess we could include the Rudolph and all that stuff, but I don't know if that's metal enough, unless Rudolph was...
Dude, Rudolph got, you know, bullied the shit out from what I recall. He got the shit bullied out of him. He got sent off to the land of Misfit Toys or some shit. Like, what was he eating out there? And, like, he comes back and he saves the freaking day. And everyone wants to, you know, fucking, that's some metal shit.
There you go, Josh Lipinski, Rudolph's Revenge. Yeah, he just comes back. And he's like, look at me now. He's like, how you like me now, right? You doubted me, you motherfuckers. Yeah, we could totally turn that into.
Little deer with the bow in your hair. Come here.
Rudolph has got to be Frederick Thorndale. Yeah, there you go. So we are going to get to... Santa's not from Sweden, right? Where did Santa originate from? Because we are going to get to Swedish death metal talk.
I think it's a German thing originally.
Is it? Is it...
He would walk Krampus around from village to village and, you know, like, see the kids in the morning. But I could be wrong.
All right. Well, Krampus is definitely... Like, maybe we have a Santa verse... Krampus, like a Freddy vs. Jason type of song.
Okay.
Right?
Are they both claiming a kid and they're like both wrong? Like,
or yeah, Corpse Grinder is the kid and he'll have Santa on one shoulder and Krampus on the other shoulder. And Krampus is like, get out there, smash the presents, kick the tree over, rip your neighbor's Christmas lights down. And Santa's like, no, George, don't do that. And it'll be like, we'll make it a concept album, like a King Diamond style story that runs throughout the album. And it'll be George sort of going in and out of these worlds. Maybe like, what if he does the whole Ghost of Christmas Past, present and that thing. But it's like, instead of wherever what's his face goes, he goes to like a recording studio or something, you know, what I mean? Like, and he sees himself.
Scrooge records an album.
Yeah.
Scrooge saves the future with a Christmas album.
Brian McKay has a song that I wanted him to play you because it is a Swedish band, which I don't think a lot of people know is a Swedish band. But anytime you've ever played a European festival,
and they were there.
And this comes on. Yes, they were there. And when this, I've seen them play it twice. But when this comes on, even the most hater, like black metal elitist underground type of kid with the shirt that you can't read, with the weird, like, you know, ruins on it and all this crazy stuff, like, who's literally like doing the impress me, bro, during like every, like, even like Satyricon is like not black metal enough. Like, nobody's metal enough for this kid. And he's just giving like the face, like the impress me, bro, the whole set. When this song comes on, People lose their minds. Are you ready for it? The Swedish band. Shout out to Sweden. This is, we're going to go right into the Swedish talk. Are you ready for it?
Let's see, ABBA.
Better.
Oh, the final count?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I had no idea Europe was from Sweden.
Yes. Dude. People lose their fucking... People run. It comes on, and people look, and they run towards the stage. They don't even know where the stage are. They're over in, like, the village where the underground, like, ambient noise avant-garde bands are playing, and they're like, I hate all that main stage shit. Until... And then they just look, and they follow it.
Well, you've seen Arrested Development, right?
The TV show?
Yeah.
Yes, I love that show.
Yeah, they think Job's going to come out and start doing illusions. The big hit over there now.
Yes.
Only took a decade.
How did that guy go from that show to Ozarks? And we and the suspension of disbelief is still there. It's amazing.
Well, there was enough time in between it, I think. But, yeah, well, shit. Well, I'm going to fart out on his name right now. Jason Bateman.
Bateman, yep.
Produce, write, direct, act. That's an impressive character.
He really is, you know, and I would love to have been in that script meeting where, like, they're going through it and they're like, wait a second, you're going to, like, sorry, no spoilers. If anybody hasn't seen Ozark yet, is it Ozarks? I add an S.
Take the S off. It's just Ozark.
Ozark.
But yeah, you people need, if you haven't watched it yet and you like crime dramas and stuff, go for it. There's funnies in there too.
Yeah, they're like, this dude is like, hey, I got to go more hard. You know, I did the whole comedy thing, but now we're putting people in acid vats. I actually wrote a song about that.
Really?
Yeah, and it's going to be on a death metal band. I've already confirmed it. I sent the lyrics. They loved it.
Awesome.
I can't say which group yet, but I'm psyched. All right, back to Sweden.
How long you gotta wait?
Not that long. I'm getting the deal memo like drawn up now. Oh. And the album's like written. I wrote a lot of it. Ghost wrote a lot of it. It's gonna be sick. Yeah, it's gonna be sick. I really, because I had a lot of death metal riffs and a lot of drum arrangements and death metal ideas that I just couldn't fit in the other projects. Just didn't sound like the other projects I've been working on, so I'm excited. But listen, I'm gonna get in trouble with Black Dahlia Murder fans because when Trevor was on, I was so hyped on energy drinks and coffee that I just chewed his ear off, didn't let him get a word in edgewise, and they were like punishing me for like 3 weeks after that podcast. So
they're.
I'm gonna chill out. I'm gonna need you to pick up the heavy lifting after this, and we're gonna get into our.
What would you have in mind?
We're gonna get into our favorite Swedish death metal, but it can be Swedish metal in general because I wanted to include Europe, who does, you know, they do have other songs besides the Final Countdown.
I'm pretty sure these guys are Finnish. Can Brian...
Swedish.
Oh, Swedish? What?
Swedish. We're not doing Finnish.
No. I said Finnish. I meant Swedish. Swedish. Brian, can you pull up Hocus Pocus, their song Focus?
It already sounds amazing.
You're gonna shit.
Oh, also, I wanted to tell you, there's a book, when I was looking up these bands, there's a book called Swedish Death Cleaning. Have you heard about this?
No. From the 70s, but they're horrific.
Dude, is this a Swedish Molly Hatchet? Skull. How do you say it? Skull. Skull. Oh.
It's riffing, you know, just bopping some like big curly ass hair around. And it's an instrumental except for the chorus. Gary Hoey, the like soloist guitar dude, he did a cover of this like in the early 90s. It's really sick, but.
What is it called?
The song's Hocus Pocus and the band is Focus.
Dude,
but you gotta hear the chorus, man. You're almost there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We should have hit the post. Do your radio voice, Brian Eschbach, here on WMMY.
You're going to have to hear this motherfucking chorus.
Oh, I've heard this.
Yeah. This should make me want to run towards the stage. But you got the idea. They're going to do that about 8 more times with more. There's a big yodeling break, but shit's tight.
That's incredible. We've really underestimated the power of a yodeling break.
Dude, sometimes you just got to listen to a guy go fucking nuts in the old world ways.
You know who the old heads accept now, and I love it. Like even the real like cranky old heads is Amon Amarth.
Oh well, yeah. All they have to do is see him like go kick ass at a bunch of fucking festivals, be real life Vikings. You know how long are you gonna deny that?
And they've been around. Like I remember our driver on our first European tour.
Oh shit!
We were in a van. And they played the first Amon Amarth tape in this van. And I want to say the tape came out like 96 or 97. So, like, they've been around. So, even old heads, that's not new. Like, they're not a new band by any stretch. But to them, they're new because the popularity really happened within, what, the last 5 years?
Yeah, yeah. They really exploded. I mean, how many bands can go out and do what they did? And I can't remember what year it was, but here in the States, I want to say maybe 5 years ago or maybe 4 years ago, they went and did an evening with Amon Amarth. You know, no package, just like you're going to listen to a whole lot of Amon Amarth tonight with an intermission. And people loved it. You know, yeah. How many bands can go out and, you know, do that sort of thing? You know, that's, I mean, yeah, they're in clubs, but that's fucking concert shit.
For real. And they have good production, and his voice sounds good every night. So he must have the real good technique, because that would be to do that long of a set and be able to do it with only a couple days off per week. Yeah. Dude, you got to hear it. Brian, can you pull up Shield Wall? This one is my most played one of theirs in years. I mean, I have a bunch of their tracks, like, in my playlists, but dude, this shit's hard.
I feel dude. The winds,
right? You just want to get on a boat and put the sails up. You got that wheel.
This you can even ride horses.
Yeah. You ride horses to meet the boat on the beach.
How, you ride your board or your horse onto the boat.
Yeah.
They got ramp and
through the water, like a little wire.
Like grabs your axe as you come aboard. Hands you a big horn.
Yes. Dude, a shield wall is hard. Like if I had people working on my house, I would just be like, right here. This is where I want the shield wall. Just, right? So they're in my top.
If cracks or any shit like that in the first 2 years, I'm yelping you.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, this guy called us to, you know, for this general contracting gig. He said he wanted a shield wall on his deck. Dude, So they're definitely in my top 10, right? They're Swedish. Here's my... Wait, first you give me, besides Focus... Wait, is it Hocus Pocus and the band is Focus?
Focus is the band, yeah. Besides that, that was just for fun, but, you know.
Okay.
I mean... It was great. When we were chit-chatting a little bit a couple days ago, I was, like, thinking, you know, like, all right, what Swedish, you know, melodic death metal bands, like, really had an impact or, like, in what... what, like, periods of time, like, really, like, influenced us hard. And, like, I was just like, you know, In Flames, man. Like, especially, like, In Flames, 1997, like, Horacle to, like, 2000, Clayman. Like, those albums, like, that's the sickest shit ever. Like, when I think of, like, melodic death metal, especially, like, Swedish stuff, I, like, my brain thinks of it like it was an evolutionary jump from, like, Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
You know, like, just sick melodies and chord progressions, but, you know, it got heavier and darker and faster. But fucking, yeah, Horacle is one hell of an album that, like, I think it changed everything for a lot of people.
For sure, yeah. It definitely had its influence on American heavy metal and American metalcore. And
oh, absolutely. I mean, and it's funny because, like, when the first 2 years that we were a band, like, we got together and, like, played our first show, like, in January 2001. And the demo and, like, the first batch of songs, very different stuff. It was I wasn't listening to a lot of metal yet. You know, I'd listen to some Slayer and Morbid Angel, Cannibal Corpse, but, like, not a lot of, like, melodic shit. And I actually got into it from the back door. Like, I was going to hardcore shows, and, like, the guys, the initial, like, musicians in the band, we were all listening to stuff like Mourning Again, and then, like, you know, Prayer for Cleansing. So, like, all that, the metalcore stuff from the mid to late 90s was kind of what got the fire under the ass. And then through that, found out about, you know, At the Gates and, yeah, all these European bands that are just, you know, bringing the speed and the melody.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how it works both ways like that? Like, you'll have In Flames be the gateway band for the metal guys to get into some of the hardcore and some of the more, I guess, crossover type bands, and vice versa. Like, you were more into the sort of metalcore and hardcore world, but that was the gateway.
You find stuff that you like and, like, really speaks to you at a time, and then, like, there's, you know, everything kind of overlaps, and you find something else that you really like, and then it's like this pathway, this you know, hall to, like, more doors, and, like, what the hell's down there?
Well, for traditional metal at that time, especially the metalheads that I knew, there were so few bands they were willing to accept, and there was bands that were held over from the 80s that, like, during the 90s, of course, like, the Iron Maiden and Judas Priest fans and the people that stuck with Priest, like, as they got heavier, like, a lot of bands didn't get heavier, right? But Priest kind of did with Painkiller and some of the subsequent releases, right? When In Flames hit, it was like there was just this need. There wasn't a lot of bands where, even though these guys, at least the guys that I knew, they thought the shit with the screaming was because, like, the guys couldn't sing or because they weren't as, like, you know, talented as Bruce Dickinson or Rob Halford. But it wasn't about that. It was about the character. It was about the lyrics. It was about the sound. It was about the flow, the cadence. And when I used to say that, because I was always, like, defending the screaming vocals, because we came up in the mid-90s when everybody was saying that nobody likes this. It's such a very underground thing. And I'm like, you don't understand, man. This shit's going to pop off. I remember telling people about In Flames playing Palladium. I'm like, there's going to be 2,500 people there. And, like, you don't understand. That's huge. Like, that's your biggest platinum act, you know, that's on MTV was playing the Palladium, but In Flames was, you know, selling it out with no radio, no MTV. This is pre-Headbangers Ball, my generation. They were already doing that. So I just love when these cases happen. And now that I look back and we've seen so many of those bands like Lamb of God and you guys, and, you know, have these breakthroughs where, you know, you can go and you see you have millions of fans on social media, you play all over the world, and it's like I say, if you can't beat them, join them. And they were, like, one of the first bands where, like, those old school metal fans were like, yeah, you can't beat them, so you might as well go to the show and rock, because what else are you going to do at that time, right?
You're going to miss out on a badass time.
Yeah. And that
was stubborn.
And that was when, like, those bands, they would do like a 13-day tour, right? It would be like Jax, Harpo's, the Palladium.
Oh yeah, get in and get across the country and fly back out as fast as possible.
But then we saw it grow, right? Like, I remember reading a Killswitch interview with Mike D, and they were like, how would you describe your sound? And he's like kind of like In Flames, melodic sort of parts with some like Hatebreed style breakdowns. Like, that's what he said in a magazine. I thought, that's so cool. Like, you're seeing these different little offshoots, these fusions of bands that were doing it in the late 90s that influenced all these other bands that now...
That they're a crazy bridge band, you know, like they with their sound and like how they chose to like form it, like, yeah, fucking people respond to it.
And they bring new kids in all the time. Like, I have a song with Jesse.
As long as they're playing shows and kicking ass, fucking there's going to be new people into them.
Yeah, so someone's got to do a documentary about
AMD Shorts.
Well, definitely about American metalcore and then the rise of the second wave. But I'm saying, like, for Sweden alone, like, has there ever been a real comprehensive Swedish metal documentary, Swedish death metal?
I don't know. The Banger Films did that one movie, but I don't think they got so specific on that. But I'm not sure if there's been a real in-depth, you know, breaking down Sweden and the birth of melodic death metal.
I mean,
I'll watch it.
Seriously, because here's my next thing I was going to drop on you, and I want to know if you agree. I think we don't have the modern success of all the Marvel films, a multi-billion dollar franchise now owned by Disney. I think it was all spearheaded by Entombed. All roads lead back, all paths, especially the left-hand one, lead back to Entombed. They brought Marvel back to prominence. They got the rights to use Wolverine. I mean, dude, this was... And I remember, like, die-hard death metal fans going, I can't believe they're slowing down. They were not into it. And I was like, this is amazing. Wolverine Blues was like... I was playing that shit to my old to the drummer of my old band, rest in peace, TZ, great dude. I was playing him that one, down 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 down. That's a 3-1-0, right? Or that's a 2-0-3, maybe.
I'd have to know the tuning.
I played him that, and I'm like, that's the fucking future. Listen to that groove.
That metaphor is my favorite metaphor of, I don't know, a long time. Marvel, Entombed.
Seriously, none of this stuff. Thor, the Ant-Man, Black Panther, you owe Entombed a check. They kept it alive. Wolverine Blues. Think about it. Columbia Records. It was a major label record.
I'm glad I don't have any LSD in the house, because I'd be thinking about this for about 2 days.
Hey, everybody. It's Jamie jumping in here to remind you today's episode is brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com, and it's a big week. They got the new Ingested coming out. That's right. This Friday, my birthday, August 7th, new Ingested album, and you'll see some of these pre-orders sold out. I mean, they've been selling like hotcakes. But they got so many restocks and so many cool items for the summer. Tank tops, flip-flops, bathing suits, board shorts. They got pre-orders. They got suffocation masks. They got all your favorites. Cannibal Corpse, Clutch, Devil Driver, Aborted, Thy Art is Murder, Black Dahlia Murder, 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 Murder. But hey, it's all in good fun. It's all metal. IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code 15JASTA. That's IndieMerchStore.com. Promo code 15JASTA. Now back to the show.
So we willed, like, I listened to that record so much. I was going through some shit at the time where all I had was that tape. I wore out the tape. I had to buy the tape again, and I just willed it into existence. I said, all I want to do is tour with Entombed. We would write them. We would write them snail mail. I would call their booking agent. I would call the label. I'd be like, please, please, you don't understand. They're our favorite band, one of my favorite bands. I was like, we fucking, and then when it actually happened, I thought it was a joke. Like, I thought I was being pranked. Like, when we got the call, like, do you guys want to go on tour with Entombed and Bloodlet? I was like, like, then I was like, whoa, this is weird. You can will this shit into existence. I really started believing, like, all the laws of attraction, all that. So I was going into books and fucking books on tape and shit.
Make shit happen.
Dude, all roads lead back to Entombed. It's the new wave, right? Because there wouldn't be In Flames without Entombed.
I hear ya.
Or would there be? Or did they start around the same time, you think? No, no, because when did Left Hand Path come out? Let's look it up. What was it, 89? Also, what was the demo? Nihilist was their other band, right? Before
1990.
It was 90. Okay. But didn't they have one before Left Hand Path or no?
I couldn't tell you. Wolverine Blues is kind of where
that was your,
you know,
that was your entry point.
Yeah.
Dude, I think I told Ricky Rackman this story. Like, I would wait through all, and then I'll say this story, and then I get hate mail because I made the mistake of saying which bands that I hated at the time that I was just waiting to see the Entombed Hollow Man video.
Oh shit!
And then their fans got together and were like, "Fuck you!" Like, they rule. I won't say who, but I told Ricky Rackman, dude, I'd have to wait through all that fucking hair metal, and I remember hearing the fucking. The ting, ting before Hollow Man. What is he doing? He's hitting a fucking
the ride bell.
No, but it's like a railroad nail or something. It sounds like
handle and spike or something. Yes. Some shit like that.
I'm in the other room making a fucking peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I run back to the TV to see the video.
I fucking. Back then, I was, when I was a kid, I was like staying up to try to VHS record 120 minutes. All like the alternative and like punk shit.
How hard was Helmet when that came on? Meantime, don't be around me. I'll break the whole room up.
Definitely one of the heavier tracks on that program, for sure.
I remember seeing the Sick of It All video. And I was like, holy shit, Sick of It All's on MTV. It was like, I think it was Scratch the Surface.
Fucking, I used to try to stay up. I think it came on at like 1 or 2 on a Sunday night. I would try to stay up for that shit, but that's why I always had the VHS in there. Like, I'd stay up just to when it started.
Was it Pinfield hosting? Who was hosting back then?
Yeah, it was Matt Pinfield.
Shout out to Pinfield. All right, so we got off track. I'm sorry. I was getting all hyped up again. See, now your fans are gonna be they're gonna be all over me.
They're gonna be chill as fuck.
Okay, here we go. Sorry, my dehumidifier is filled with water. I'm getting so amped up down here. We're getting moist. All right, so here's my top four Swedish death metal at the gates. Entombed. Well, Entombed is number one for me.
Okay.
Number two is At the Gates, but there's not enough catalog. I just want to go. Listen, I think one classic album is enough and can trump an entire band's catalog.
I'm right there with you.
Okay. We're in agreement on that. But then there's the bands that stayed around, and they stayed around through the fucking tough shit, the hard days. Amon Amarth, man, is up there. They're
My top, I mean, shit. I don't even know if I can really order it properly, but I'll do it. The Haunted. That's probably my favorite.
They're top 10 for sure.
Just always been such a fucking huge fan. And then when we got to mix our last album, Verminous, with Tube Madsen, who's done tons of their albums, I mean, that was like why it was like a big honor and shit. I was like, fuck yes, this dude's gonna do the recording. But I mean, Soil Work, fuck, Darkane, and Darkane's definitely like, I love a lot of stuff they do. The guitar stuff is amazing. The composition is like really cool stuff. But that first album, Rusted Angel, is just like, boom. That to me is a perfect melodic death metal album.
I gotta go back to that. Is that on Death Is Just One of the Death Is Just the Beginnings?
Darkane?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I thought I might. I don't know why. I don't think I've ever heard them aside from maybe a compilation track or two. That's one I gotta, because I was gonna say if it wasn't a Monomarth, I'd put Bloodbath in there for sure, right? Because they're okay.
Bloodbath's fucking fun, but that album Rusted Angel from Darkane, to me, that's got the perfect metal intro and outro, or the best intro and outro of any metal album I've ever fucking heard. It starts with like a choir, like doing this like kind of ominous like dark melody shit and building, and then the band starts jamming with them, and then they come in with a groove, and they do like they go out the same way at the end of the album. They start this like kind of almost funeral procession start sounding like groove that goes, and then the choir comes back in and the band fades out, and at the end you just got this choir sounds like sad as fuck. Like, recommend everyone check that one out.
I'm gonna, as soon as we're done with the podcast, that's great. Cause I in the tape trading days, I had heard some of the Nihilist songs. And I think there was another one, Carnage, right? And then my buddy had that Boss distortion pedal where you could get like the Entombed.
Yeah, the heavy metal zone.
Yes.
Zone.
There's two though, right? There's two different Swedish death metal pedals, or there's a death metal pedal, right?
Yeah, they ended up doing that at some point. Bosses, every time they have like some kind of like idea with a pedal, they're like, man, I know some people want to push it further. And, you know, so they just like make the dial go to 11 or some shit and put a new name on it.
Yeah, yeah. Did Tiamat start as death metal? Do you remember them?
No, I couldn't tell you.
Because there was a tape.
You'd have to go to Papa Trev for that sort of sage information. He's the encyclopedia.
Because I remember getting, you know, I don't know how many times you did this at the dollar bin or like the used bin, but if I had heard a band was death metal, I would buy it if it was just in the used bin. Yeah. But I had bought that band Tiamat hearing that it was a death metal. But then when I played it, it was... I don't even know how to describe it. I'm actually going to try to Google the song right now. So it was still a catchy song. It was one of those like promo discs. I think that it was like a, maybe it was like a Century Media, like giveaway type thing that the store like used to put in there. You're not supposed to sell it, but they like put it in there for $2.
Yeah.
But it was, and it must've been a departure for the band. I got to look this up real quick. But while we're talking about Tiamat, or while I'm looking up Tiamat, when I told people we were doing this show, a lot of people said Hypocrisy.
Oh, they're down.
Yeah, they're like, Hypocrisy is up there in the Mount Rushmore of Swedish death metal. But I don't know. I know I like a couple songs, but I'm not, for whatever reason, I'm just not so into them like I am Entombed, At the Gates, Haunted, A Monomarth, Bloodbath. Like, I just constantly go back to those bands.
And you can't fuck with that At the Gates too. I mean, they're definitely one that obviously influenced their peers. Fucking, it's cool that they do music again.
And his other bands were cool too. Like, did you ever hear that one? Was he in Skit System or Skeet System? How do you say it?
Oh, I don't know that one. He was in a band on Trustkill, right? Like, was it Disfear or something like that?
Yeah, that was hard. They had some hard tracks.
Yeah. I remember looking that up. I was, like, surprised that he was doing something, in that realm. I remember checking out and thinking it was cool, different. It's weird when you hear a voice you know and they're like totally jamming on like a totally different kind of genre of music.
He's got multiple good side projects. Like he's got a bunch that are ripping. Nightshade? Nightshade.
Lockup.
Lockup's hard with Shane.
Yeah, and Barker, fucking. That's just like, all right, let's fly. He's not singing with them anymore, though, I think.
What about Meshuggah? Like, they got to be top five, no? If you had to bump somebody off.
You're absolutely right, but I never think of them like that. Like, I don't think of them as part of, like the Swedish melodic or spectrum. So I always forget they're Swedish.
Yeah. I know, right? And then because they sort of transcended into just standard metal, like just consider them a metal band, not necessarily like a death metal band.
I mean, shit, out of all the bands we've talked about, I think maybe they've had the biggest reach and the biggest influence. I mean, like that whole, like the whole djent scene, does that exist without them?
Dude, you know? Alarm Clock riff itself popularized mainly. Right?
Get off. I mean,
right? That shit is still, it's up there. I'm going to have to do a whole Alarm Clock riff countdown with you.
Oh, God. There's some Norma Jean shit in there.
Yep.
I think every Zayo. Time I've got some Alarm Clock hits.
Yeah, you got a nice pedigree of Alarm Clock.
On the demo, there's definitely a couple of yeah, guilty.
Back in the day, I can't find this fucking Tiamat album. I thought it might have been off the Astral Sleep because I'm trying to think when would I have been 14 or 15. This says it was released in 1990.
Does it got explicit lyrics? You got to go on a dark rub.
It says. It blends the death metal style of Tiamat's debut album with the gothic metal elements. Yeah, because like this is back when if you were experimenting, like the kid with the cannibal, if you were experimenting with any sort of other sound, the kid with the Cannibal Corpse shirt was not hearing it. And I remember many of these kids in my travels. Maybe it's Clouds. That says December of 92. Anyways, I was going to play you this song, but it basically has a chorus about you can sleep where you want, I'll sleep on the floor. Maybe if I Google that as lyrics, Tiamat lyrics, and I remember when we first toured, if I was staying at someone's house, it was always very hard for me to go to sleep. Like I hated having to stay at people's houses because they, you know, especially if the person smoked or if they had a cat or if, sorry to the cat people, I'm sorry, I'm not a cat person.
When they tell you they got carpet, but you're sleeping on the tile or the linoleum.
Or they have some wild roommate blasting music all night or whatever, and I know, and I got to drive.
You guys are going to get some good sleep. We only invited like 15 people over.
Yes. That song, I'll Sleep on the Floor. Let me see if I search those lyrics. Okay, yes, here it is. It's called, the song is called, I don't know how to say this, it's called Tianasatal.
Tianasatal.
I think it's because they deal with like a lot of Sumerian type of lyrics and inspiration. I'm going to send the link to Brian McKay so he can play you this. But so imagine you're a kid, you're super into death metal, you go to the store and you thinking you're getting like some ripping death grind album and you get this, but I ended up liking it. Like I wasn't like I didn't want to like it, but then I ended up liking it. What year was this? I think it's 92. Yeah, so what would I would think I was 15 in 92. How old were you in 92? 10. All right. See, I'm not that much older than you.
Right behind you.
Okay. So if it was a top 10, you got The Haunted in your top four, though, on your Mount Rushmore?
They got to be first.
Wow. Above At the Gates, just because they have more catalog?
Yeah, they got more, like in the first three or four albums, they got more riffs that just, like, you can't deny them for me. I'm just like, it starts going, and it's like, yeah, we're on a motorcycle, and we're going way too fucking fast. Like, I love The Haunted.
They're so good. 99 was on my countdown, I think. It's on my top, my hardest death metal countdown, even though it's, or no, I might have put it on my thrash countdown, because I think that song is more thrash. But you could put them on both, probably.
Any of the first, like, five tracks from Made Me Do It, like, I was in love.
Okay, here it is. So this is, listen, turn this up. Yeah.
Not what you were expecting, I get it.
No. But after a show, like, you play a show, your adrenaline is on high, you got to drive to the next city, or you got to go to somebody's house to go to sleep. Like, this would help me wind down. Listen to this. Right? It's still good, but it's just, I just remember hearing, like, they were a death metal band. I don't think I even went and listened to the first album. I think that was just the one that was the album that I liked.
I'm going to take that for a ride on my stereo after we're done.
I've been getting into Paradise Lost again, My Dying Bride.
My Dying Bride is perfect for right now.
Seriously, right? I booked shows for them.
For sure.
They toured, I think, the States once or twice, and I booked shows, and those shows sold out quick. We booked them on short notice, too, and that's a serious cult following that band has.
Yeah, I remember watching, someone had, like, a VHS fucking tape of them in our practice space, like, when we were first getting started. I think it was our first drummer, Corey. And, you know, he's like, you know, we're going to get high as shit and listen or watch this. It work.
So let me ask you, how many members do you need in the band to be from Sweden to be considered Swedish metal? Three?
I have no clue anymore.
Because you could put Arch Enemy in there, top three, if right? Because three out of the... How many are from Sweden? We should figure it out. Could they be UK, Germany, and Sweden? Like, could they claim three territories?
I guess that for most people, I think it has to do with where they started, or you know who the original people were. But it's become a smaller world, and everyone's, you know, especially out there, it's not so costly to, you know, hop from the UK over to Sweden. But
true.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's like, are we really a Detroit band anymore? Because I'm still here. The drummer's here, but everyone else is, you know. Oh, like, Max is in Rhode Island. Trevor's in Brooklyn. Brandon's in North Jersey. People are all over the place. Your band, right, too?
Three out of five. But one is Poughkeepsie, which is always like,
right?
Yeah, they probably consider us honorary Poughkeepsie, but we consider them honorary Connecticut.
Okay.
Right.
Because as long as guys like each other.
Yeah. And Frank's in Florida. But other than that, like, you know, doing my research for this show, I listened to like a little bit of Dark Tranquility. I listened to a little bit of Hypocrisy, a little bit of Soilwork. Soilwork's definitely got some bangers. I actually like Night Flight Orchestra better, which is probably like, people probably think that's crazy, but that dude is amazing in that.
It's been played for me before, but I can't think of any of their stuff right now. Night Flight Orchestra.
Yes. So good. You got to check it out. It's like fucking Bee Gees meets yacht rock. I don't know what, don't even quote me on it, because I don't even know what genre it is, but it's incredible.
Okay.
But then as far as like newer Swedish bands, like who would you say?
Tell you.
Yeah.
I have not had my ear to the ground in the last fucking 8 months. I have no idea what's going on in music. Well, please send your suggestions, everyone.
Well, I'm reading through some of the posts and some of the stuff that people wrote in, but even some of the ones that people said were newer, I thought were just older. Like Repugnant, I thought was an older band. I thought they were around in the 90s. Or the other one there, Paganizer, I think someone had set in. Who else here? Let's see.
Paganizer.
That's a good name.
It's an A+ name.
Right. Before we get out of here, we're going to get some fans. We're going to get some fan questions. We're not going to play the theme because it's going to blow everybody's ears out. But I want to shout out our All Access tier patrons and, of course, our executive producers. We got Wes in here. We got Viking. We got Paul, Leanna, and Andy are left. You guys got a question for Brian or myself? All right, go for it, Wes.
Man, you know I've been dying to ask this. We were talking about it at the beginning. Dude, so in Jacksonville, North Carolina, you guys played with Black Label, I believe it was, at the Tar Heel. And I asked you, what guitar was that? And you're like, it's an Eschbach. And I'm like, you know, I was confused as fuck. You told me two German dudes made it. And then I looked it up, and I was like, fuck, his last name's Eschbach. And I didn't catch on to that. But anyways.
I told you some Japanese dudes made it, but
yeah, it was Japanese. Yeah, yeah. For some reason, I thought you said German, but anyways, it's cool that you remember that. But why the fuck don't they have a production line on your model, dude? Is that something that you don't want, or like, because they don't even make that body style? Like, I can't find it.
I designed it.
Okay, okay.
Well, I mean, they designed that headstock, and you know, it's basically like it's like a Gibson flying, or it's like a Randy Rhodes V, but yeah, with Gibson curves.
Gotcha. I
want and one. They made me a couple of those over the course of the years. They made me like three of those since 2006. But I love them.
Yeah.
But as far as production, I would say get yourself and anyone else who's interested in them, and you know, start emailing the hell out of ESP Guitars. Let's get something going.
Yeah, I'm down with that, because I saw it and I was like, I want that. I have a Horizon 3 from 2013, and I love that guitar. It's a LTD. It's before they went E2s with them. But yeah, no, I was like, why can't I buy that guitar? But all right, thanks, man.
Hey, no problem.
Thanks, Wes. All right, so anybody else before we get out of here? I know we're gonna get bombarded with people like, you didn't talk about Dark Tranquility or Opeth or, I don't know, what was the other ones that people wrote in? Dismember, and I don't know. There's a bunch. There's so many great bands. It's a great country. I can't wait to go back and play.
And you and I'll get a list together, and we'll read. You read a name of a band, and I'll read the name of the next band. We'll just go alphabetically through all of Sweden, and that way no one gets off about, you know, having their favorite Swedish band or the favorite Swedish band not mentioned.
Dude, well, Bathory, like, technically
music playing in the background.
I'm surprised I just didn't
metal bands. Opeth, Amonomar. This is just go through all of them.
Well, also because, like, I miss Darkane. Like, how the hell did I miss them throughout the years? Like, I'm gonna have to check that out. But you know what? What about Witchery? I played them on the Thrash Countdown.
Witchery's fucking fun. I'm shit.
one of the guitar players from The Haunted, I think, was in Witchery for a good long while.
I think so. And I think Charlie from Arch Enemy was in Witchery,
oh, really?
Too. Yeah.
Tall dudes with black hair. Hell yeah.
Well, next time we'll be more prepared so that we don't get skewered by the Swedish underground.
Well, everyone's got another question.
That's upset. I encourage you to maybe stand up and go outside today and take a 10-minute walk and breathe deeply.
All right, Wes, you wanted one more? You want to shoot in for one more?
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. So I've seen you guys like 4 times, and I've never seen like a VIP meet and greet or anything. And I did just order, I think it was the last one they had at Yellow Dog Disc down in Wilmington, the limited edition Verminous album, the lime green disc. You guys actually liked my post on that, which was made my day. I've met you guys every time, but like you guys never do like a meet and greet. There's never any kind of like shake hands. It's like just catch you if you can kind of thing. Or do you guys like ever plan on doing that, or is it something that you don't like? Because like I know when Doyle was on, he was like, I fucking hate that shit. I don't know if like everybody's like that or not, you know, just
there's times when we've done it before, and then there's times where like we've chosen not to do it, and it really breaks down to like how, you know, how much time there is in a day and what do people want to get done. And but I mean, you've caught us 4 times, so you're doing pretty good.
I have, and yeah, so I guess so. But it's just, you know, you guys are busy, and people say that, oh, that dude's an asshole. I don't want to fucking meet him. Or, you don't want to meet him. He's a dick. And I'm like, dude, everybody's got a fucking dick day. Like, you know, his fucking something might have happened at home, and he's on the road and can't get to it or something, you know, like, and something affects people. But, like, I don't know, just like, I'm not saying you guys are dicks. I'm just saying that sometimes people are busy in their head with something else that's going on. You just don't want to be frustrated by people. So I didn't know if that was something that you guys thought about doing, or I'd pay for a meet and greet. I'm just saying.
Oh, believe me. Let me chime in here. There's been festivals where I'll see Trevor from afar, and I'll gauge from afar what type of night he's had the night before. And that will sort of guide me through my approach, because I've seen him like on the way, like desperate to get to the porta potty. And I'm like, and I don't know what sort of rest area was stopped at, you know, I don't know what sort of raging was happening the night before. So I go, all right, I'm not going to make the approach. And then there's also been times where I've seen him and he's like, yo, what's up? You know, so I always give everybody their space, but I could see with the raging schedule that the Black Dahlia Murder keeps on a tour, I can see meet and greets being very inconsistent with the enthusiasm level, depending on the party the night before and the sleep and other things.
Here's another thing on that I'll chime in on is like, we've done tours where we go out and like, you know, do meet and greet packages, and like, you know, there's a good night, a handful of nights where, you know, like there's 5 people or 10 people, and you know, like you hang out for a little bit and that's done. And then you feel bad for selling them that thing, because I'm still going to be hanging out in the club talking to people regardless. It's weird for me. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. No, that Kirk says the same thing. You know, Kirk was going to do like an acoustic type of thing, maybe like 2-3 songs before the show. So that way it differentiated, but you could say it was technically different than meeting him at the merch or whatever.
That's definitely a very unique experience.
I will say this, like out of the 4 times that I did meet you guys, 2 of the times I was actually, I was working. One time I wasn't working, but I was stagehands at the venue. And one time I just showed up, I bought a ticket, showed up, and then the stagehands weren't really helping. So I jumped in the mix, and your tour manager, John, I believe his name was, or Michael, told me to go get a shirt from the merch guy, either John or Michael. I can't remember his name, but
that sounds like Michael McDonald.
Yeah, he was super cool, because none of the stagehands actually did their job. They actually like brought it outside, and you guys don't have roadies or anything, so you pack your stuff up and then you're tired, so you go on the bus, and we actually loaded the entire trailer by ourselves, just me and him. So he was, like, super chill about that. But I was just saying, like, out of the four times, I've only met you twice as a fan at a show, you know, without being able to go backstage and all that shit.
Well, thank you for helping. It's
yeah, that's great. That's, like, that's awesome because – that's probably led to gigs in the past. I mean, I had a lighting guy one time give me a DVD where he went to a festival after hours and put our set on a CD and asked the guy if he could just run our set with his light rig and film it. And then he burned a DVD of that and gave it to us. And we were like, all right, you're hired. And now he does everybody. Like, he's like literally like the biggest lighting guy in the business in Europe, like does Machine Head, Creator, Rammstein. Like, I mean, it's, but you, so you, like, get in where you fit in, you know. I'm not saying trespass and go backstage without being asked or whatever. But if you, where there's a will, there's a way. If your intentions are good and if you have a talent and if you're likable and, you know. Am I making? I don't know. My brain has
I'm falling
to mush. It's probably because I'm. Well, I won't get into that. I was gonna. I was doing home inspections and I was checking out this house. I paid like $700 to get this house home inspected, and there was all sorts of issues. And I had another one where they do these tests, and the radon was really high. And I don't know what radon does. Well, so anyways, we didn't buy that house because it was like the radon was super, super high, and it was high at multiple times during the day. And so now I'm wondering, like, maybe throughout the years, I just stayed at people's houses that were just like overrun with radon. Or my house right now currently is just
you have a high tolerance for it.
I don't know. But like when my brain goes to mush, is it the radon down here? I don't know.
It could be a superpower.
Well, Brian, dude, thank you so much for the time. Well, and it's a first. Your first thank time. You. I'm so sorry it took 500 fucking episodes.
No, it's my fault. Anywho.
we'll do it again. We'll do it. You know, there was one time we were supposed to do it, and I think I ended up doing it with Trevor because he said – actually, he said there was a reason, and you know, he'll do it. And then I ended up fucking up that episode. It got deleted. And it was epic. And I was so embarrassed. I felt so bad. And he was such a good sport. He just did it again. He's like, fuck it. We'll run it again. And we just did it over. Same fuck. It was amazing. Like he's a trooper.
Yeah, yeah. He knows how to do the talking.
Well, thank you, bro. And thank you to the other Brian. Thank you, Paul, Viking, Wesley. I don't know where the chat is here. I closed out of this box. I'm only okay. Yeah, we got three of you left in here, and everybody listening at home, go get Verminous if you haven't yet.
Buy some green clothes if you want to on our store.
Yep, grinders. I saw you got the black dye, your grinders. You got all sorts of, you got flip flops?
Not yet, but did you see those KFC Crocs?
Dude, how mad are you? Like right now, if you're like, you know, trying to sell a product and it's sitting on the shelf and you see KFC Crocs flying out and then getting resold for 300 each. How mad are you?
Yes. Anyway, we all need to get into Crocs like yesterday.
Dude, if you make some black dye of Crocs, I'll be your first buyer. Kirk is like, fool, stop hating on my Crocs, fool. They're comfortable.
That's like, what I've always heard about them.
He's like, I said, dude, that is, there's never, I go, any vagina within 10 feet of you is going to be so dry at the sight of that. And he, you know, the ladies love Kirk. He's a sensual, attractive. All right, I better shut up. Listen, you've said it all. You've done it all, right? Like Stern, like he does at the end of the show. You've said it all. You've done it all. Eschbach. What's your middle name?
Garrett.
Garrett, BGE.
That's it.
That's it. Is that can we turn that into a 310? 310 on the BGE. That'll be my next turn in the next breakdown I write.
I can't wait. I'm definitely. Right. I'm gonna come out of jumping off stage retirement for that one.
Oh, I've seen you stage dive. I think what show was that?
A bunch, man. Don't take us out. I'm gonna get hurt.
Yeah, did you hit the barricade one night? You hit it with your hip.
Oh, the Eagles?
Yeah.
Or the Raves.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Work from that or something.
Dude, imagine if we did that tour now. It was Hatebreed, Napalm Death, Exodus, Black Dahlia, and fucking First Blood and Despised Icon on one tour. You got the poster? Hard. Look at that. That's a hard lineup.
Fucking First Blood.
Dude, look, that is crazy. Oh, and Toxic. Wait, who else was on? Who's on the bottom there? Oh, yeah. Despised Icon.
Napalm, Exodus, First Blood, Despised Icon.
Oh, my God. And I can't tell the story on the podcast, but about the wearing the gorilla suit in Fort Worth.
Fort Worth was awesome.
The best. I like that place. Ridgelia. Shout out to Ridgelia. Is it still around?
I don't think it is.
Damn. Yeah, I had way too much fun on that tour. Thank you. I one day the book, we'll put in the book. No, we got to be careful because now I think just the standard shit from a tour back then, just the drinking and the insanity.
Thank you for taking such good care of us on that, by the way. I never wanted for booze. I appreciate that.
You guys could really, we were like, well, those guys can really put it down, man. They were guys. It was great having you. We got to do it again. Yep. We'll do it again.
Do you remember when John was going to ride for you guys for the night? Beatty scared him, said he was going to get him drunk all night.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. My daughter, what my daughter would call that now is toxic masculinity.
That's what that is. I've been hearing this. Trying to watch the news.
Us drinking and yelling at each other all night. No, let me play this song. No, let me play this song. No.
This song.
You know, oh my God. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for the time, and everybody go get Verminous. I can't say, you know, enough good things about the album, and we'll have you back on soon, and hopefully we'll do a tour before 2025 or whatever.
Yeah, let's do a high five one of these days. It'll be sick.
For real. Please. I need that.
High fives are coming back.
All right, brother. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you take care too.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much.
If you still listen to the outro after the outro, if you're still here with us, thank you so much. Check out patreon.com/Josta. You're going to get 7 episodes that you won't get with the Gas Digital subscription. This is for everybody who donates monthly, who just wants to go above and beyond for us and help us with production and help us with all the bills and all the editing and everything that's going on right now while we're off tour. I figure content is king. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it rolling. patreon.com/Josta. I just put out a podcast about my pitch to Metallica. Just basically saying, no disrespect to Lou Reed, we love Lou, but we want to revisit Lulu. Maybe we get Corey Taylor. Maybe we get Nurgle from Behemoth. Maybe we get Howard Jones. Maybe we get Kirk Winstein. Maybe we get Pepper Keenan. Maybe we get LaJon Witherspoon. There's so many good ideas. We could still use Lou Reed's lyrics and just sort of reimagine them, reinvent them, put some melody in there, change the phrasing. Who knows? Sky could be the limit. And look, if they don't want to sanction this idea, I totally understand. You know, you don't want to, maybe they don't want to release those instrumentals to us or whatever, but who knows? Maybe we could cover it and maybe we could pay tribute to it. And just re-record it. I don't know. I'll elaborate on this in the new podcast on patreon.com/Josta. Also, you're going to get bonus songs every month and a ton of other content. patreon.com/Josta. Or if you're feeling like you want to support some awesome heavy music, head on over to indiemerchstore.com. That's a great way to support the podcast too. And they have the new Ingested album coming out this Friday, my birthday, August 7th. And that features guest appearances from Kirk, from Down and Crowbar and Kingdom of Sorrow fame. Also, Matt from Kublai Khan and Vincent from The Acacia Strain. Head on over to indiemerchstore.com to get that new Ingested and merchandise from a ton of your favorite extreme metal bands. course, before I get out of here, I got to thank Matt Brown, a UFC legend and a coffee connoisseur in his own right. And let me tell you, the Immortal Coffee is my favorite coffee. I've been drinking it every day. It packs a punch, but it doesn't give you that crash. It's that no crash coffee. Check it out at theimmortalcoffee.com. That's theimmortalcoffee.com. Use the promo code JOSTA and you will save. Try that Cuban roast. Try that Italian medium roast if you like it. But definitely get yourself a travel mug. Definitely get yourself some merch. Use my code. You'll help out a great company that's all organic, all single origin. I mean, it's really quality stuff. These are real coffee connoisseurs. Great team over there over at theimmortalcoffee.com. Use the promo code JOSTA. Any suggestions for the August music show, hit me up, jostashow@gmail.com. And then, of course, check out the Crowbar tank tops and the Josta tank tops. I think we'll have some Hatebreed tank tops up if you're listening to this on Thursday or Friday. Check out martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net. I think we are down to the last batch of pint glasses. We might try to get some reordered because we got a big announcement coming. But yeah, you can check the store and see if there's still some left. Martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net. All right, everybody, keep slaying the day. Keep that PMA to the grave. And don't forget to drink your coffee, listen to death metal, and do your push-ups. All right, bye-bye. Love you all. Thank you.
Produced by Brian McKay. Executive producers, Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, Niall Scholar, Richard Miller, Morgan Costner, Zappagore Waikato, Josh Lipinski, Matt West, Jack Flanders, the Pit Commander, Nicholas Look, Jeffrey Kewen, Devon Chandler, Crystal McLaughlin, Justin Steven, Brian Underkoffler, Zach Timmons, Andy Wilson, Mark Tagg, Kyle Marg, Wesley Seven, Bill Gussler, Let's Talk Resident Evil, James DeGroot, and Jason Rary.